hired a few Chinese there. And Polytechnic High was considered an inferior school at that time, because most of the students there were working families. I think that has something to do with my father's views too. And so he wanted me to go to Los Angeles High School, because that's my sister. And so I went to Los Angeles High School, although it took much longer. I had to take a streetcar that took practically 45 minutes to get there. Mm-hmm. But we used to go early in the morning and go to school at Centers High School.
Centers was the junior high school.
Centers was the junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
And Los Angeles High School. And I graduated in the winter of 1939.
From Los Angeles.
From Los Angeles High School.
Tell me a little bit about your elementary school life. Did you, first of all, did you feel any different? Did you feel that you were different from the other kids? What was the ethnic composition of the school?
Well, it was a very queer situation. This elementary school was also a school for the deaf and the dumb. It's a very peculiar situation. I don't think you'll find anything like that today. But apparently, during those years, there were very few deaf and dumb schools. And this grammar school also had a rather large population of deaf and dumb students. Of course, we did not go to school with them. I mean, we had separate classes, but we would always see the deaf and dumb using the sign language and so forth. There were very few Chinese in that school. I was one of the few Chinese.
Mostly whites?
Mostly whites, yes. And there were very few other ethnic groups there, too, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And
how did you feel about that?
Well, I think as a minority, we felt rather not exactly as being ostracized or being. There was some prejudice. I remember that they used to make fun of the Chinese, calling us chinks and all that. And that was really somewhat hated. Fight because of that, and I think the old history of California had left its mark on some of the younger generation too. And they felt that all Chinese were yellow Chinese, and that most of them were laborers. Well, and originally, a lot of them came over as laborers, and they looked down upon us. I think in some. And I think that, if anything, that created in us a strong sense of so that I think that many of us...
Stronger sense of...
Well, I was saying that it made us, if anything, it made us want to succeed,
mm-hmm.
Because we felt that in order to rise above all of this, we had to be superior, that we had to work harder. And I think that in most cases, they feel that the teachers felt that the Chinese students would work harder, that they were more industrious. And that was true with both for my sister and myself when we went to school there. And that applied when we went to junior high school and high school, because we were all good students.
Mm.
We were very well disciplined and we did everything that the teacher asked us. And the teachers liked us a lot. I think that's one of the issues.
Did that make it even harder for you to be accepted by other students, the fact that you're ethnically different and also teachers?
Yes, I do feel that is true. For example, I think when I reached the sensitive age of puberty, when I was in junior high school, I felt that I was left out of a lot of social activities. For example, some of my friends would have parties, but we would never be invited.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Did you form any of your own organizations?
No. that time there were two few Chinese to form organizations. We had Chinese friends, it's true, we they were just friends. They would come and visit and so forth. But we never had an organization of any kind. In fact, I remember when I was in Alexandria High School, there was only maybe one or two other Chinese there. That was all. We knew them, but that was all. There was very little social life to speak of.
So you just went to school and worked?
Yeah.
Did you do any part-time job at all?
No.
Not even doing the part?
Did
your Chinese friends
make past money? Well, I think some of them did, but I don't recall exactly. There were some who did part-time work, parents who had been working for us. We didn't do it, although we were rather poor at the time.
Did you go to Chinese
tea
after the
graduation? Yes, I did go to Chinese. Well, this is also a part of it. My father was very strong in his feelings that as a Chinese, we should know Chinese, and we should not only speak Chinese, but we should also know how to read and write. I remember that when I was in junior high school, he started to teach me Chinese, but he didn't have the time. Oftentimes he would be too busy, and so I wouldn't do it very much. And then he would teach me to write calligraphy with a brush. And sometimes he was rather impatient because I didn't write well enough. And I, frankly speaking, at that time, I had no interest in Chinese, because most of my friends were American. I spoke English most of the time. Even among our brothers and sisters, we would speak English. But to our parents, we would always speak Chinese. And but my father was he kept suggesting to me when I was in high school. When I was in junior high school, when I was a sentence, it was in high school, because I think I had 2 years, that was the last 2 years of high school, there was a woman, a postgraduate student in sociology, who was attending USC. I still remember her name was Kit King Lee. It's in the, she uses L-E-I. When she was in the United States, she used Lee.
Mm-hmm.
But she changed to May, but mm-hmm. She did not change. And she was a sociology major. And she had come from San Francisco, I think, and was taking some postgraduate studies in sociology for her MA degree. And she offered to teach a group of Chinese children Chinese after school. And my father immediately signed me up so that after school, I was in LA High School at that time.
You had to do with all the elementary school kids?
No, some of them were elementary school, some of them were junior high school.
Uh-huh.
I was the only high school student
uh-huh.
among the Chinese there. And these were more or less friends, friends of my father's. My father had, his friends were usually those who had herb stores or who were herbalists like himself. And we had our classes in the house of a friend. And in fact, this is one of my mother's oldest friends now, Mrs. Ha Wing. Actually, she's Mrs. Tom, but you know how the Chinese say Tom
mm-hmm.
Ha Wing, so they call her Mrs. Ha Wing. Sissy Tom. So she it was in her house that we had this class. And every afternoon, I would get out of school around 3 or so, and then I would take the streetcar, and I would go to Mrs. Halligan's house, and we would have a class from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, 2 hours. And then after 6 o'clock, I would take the streetcar home. And I did that for 2 years, and she had to, well, she was here for 2 years. And then she finished her master's and got a master's degree. But that was the only Chinese that I had really taken in a systematic way. My father taught me a little, but I didn't remember very much. Then she, this teacher taught me some Chinese, more or less systematically. And I learned some Chinese.
How much were you at what level of
elementary
school?
Very, very elementary. And also, most of us were not too interested in taking Chinese. Even though we felt that, well, it's useful, but how will we use it, you see? The thing is that we already spoke Chinese at home, and we understood Chinese, and what was the use of reading and writing? That was the point. And it was much more difficult, of course, to read and write Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Did
you ask your father?
Well, sometimes, but he was always very busy. My father was a rather stern, rather strict person.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't emotionally, of course, I got along much better with my mother than with my father. He was one of those very stiff and very formal sort of people.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us really had a very close relationship with him. But he was a very typical, I think, typical of that age. So after I finished high school in 1931, that was a crucial time in my life because the point was whether I could go to college or not. My father, of course, wanted me to go to college. But we were very poor then, and it was during the Depression in 1931. And so my father suggested to me and some of his old friends, the old cronies would suggest, you know, well, why don't you go to China to study Chinese? And to me, it was a sort of an adventure to go to China.
To study Chinese, yes.
And since I felt that, well, I could go to college there, and I could also learn Chinese, and so that would be a good thing. And frankly, I was very much excited about going on a trip away from home because it was the first time I had left home. I was 17 at that time. And so, after a great deal of discussion, my father said, well, would you like to go? I will see what you can go to China. Now, where to go in China was the question. The school that was best known was Lingnan. Lingnan in Canton, because that's in Canton, and many overseas Chinese used to go there, and he said we could go there and like. The other possibility was the fact that I had a nephew and a niece who both went up north for their education to Nankai University in Tianjin, Nankai Middle School in Tianjin. And so, in 1931, my niece had just finished her high school and was going to enter Nankai University. And since I was already finished with high school, I think after an exchange of letters and so forth, my father decided to send me to Nankai University to study, to take some courses there and also to study Chinese. Previously, my nephew had finished his high school in Nankai and had come over to this country and was taking some courses in USC. So he brought over a lot of information about the school.
Interview. This is the end of the duplicate of tape 1, side 1 of the interview with Dr. Arthur Chung.